Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. This is God's Word. "Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?' Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I've written you only a short letter. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. You know, through this letter to the Hebrews, there has been a progression of argument where he is facing a situation where many believers are losing hope, losing heart, wanting to give up, wanting to go back to Judaism. It's just easier to give in and go back than it is to press on. And so, once again, we see that this argument has focused on Jesus Christ. That the reason we don't turn back is because all of that was pointing to the real thing in Jesus. And even here in the midst of this chapter, as he winds down what he has to say and basically just has a bunch of reminders for them. It's sort of the sort of thing you might say to someone as they're heading out the door, or that you might say to someone as you are heading out the door, when you're just about to sign off and you want to say, oh, one more thing. That's sort of what's in this section of the letter. But right in the midst of this chapter, right in the center of it, is Jesus. The reminder again that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it is that, the centrality of Christ, the fact that he does not change, that causes all the other to have meaning and credibility. These statements about how we're supposed to live would be just good advice, perhaps. They would not have the weight of authority if it were not for the fact that the reason we are to live this way is because of Jesus. We are to do these things, speak this way, deal with others in this way because of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And so even in the midst of these closing remarks, the author takes us back to look at Jesus and reminds us of the sacrifice that he offered on our behalf and urges us to be joined with him because of what he's done. With that in mind, let's look at some of these statements that he makes here in Hebrews 13. First of all, keep on loving each other as brothers. How many of you have a brother, physically, humanly speaking? Okay. Did you always get along? Did you always wake up in the morning and say, I am so glad that that person is my brother? When it says, keep on loving each other as brothers, he's not saying you have to feel lovey-dovey all the time. What he's saying is you need to treat one another with love based on a relationship that you didn't author and that you don't get to conclude. The reason my brother is my brother is not because I voted for it. Okay? He's my brother because my parents had both of us. And in the family of God, there are people that you and I might want to vote off the island. Right? Is that a television metaphor? Right? I didn't think he was really into that stuff. But when you have a relationship that is based on what Jesus Christ has done for us, you have to continue to treat one another with love, even if you're not getting along in the moment. Now, that does not mean that you pretend to have feelings you don't have. It does mean that you want what is best for that person, that you pray God's blessings upon them. In some cases, if you read your Bible, you'll find that loving your brother means cutting them off from fellowship until they repent of sin. Okay? So this is not saying no matter what the other person does, you just smile, pat them on the back, and hand them a hamburger. Okay? It's saying that you are in a relationship because of God's grace, and on the basis of that, you want what is good for the other person. You're going to pray blessing upon them. You are going to treat them in a loving manner, even if feelings are not in accord. Keep on loving each other as brothers. And do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, again, he's writing to the Hebrews. They know the Old Testament. There are several stories in the Old Testament of people who encountered angelic presences without initially recognizing that it was an angel. Generally speaking, when an angel shows up in Scripture, the first words are, don't be afraid. And the reason is because the appearance of the angel when he manifests his glory is scary. Okay? It's intimidating. But there are times when angels appeared and it was only clear after the fact that this was an angel. And so we need to show hospitality. We need to show hospitality. We need to show hospitality. That's something God commands. Doesn't just advise, he commands. Do not forget to entertain strangers. Hospitality to strangers? Are you serious? Yes, God's serious. Because we were strangers, alienated from God. We were, in fact, his enemies when he reached out to us in love. And so God tells us that we are to represent him by showing love and kindness and hospitality, even to people that we are not yet in relationship with. Because God will use that oftentimes to draw them not just into a relationship with us, but a relationship with him. And remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. I think it's great to have a prison ministry where we go to prisons and share with people the gospel. That's wonderful. I'm all for it. But there aren't many people here in the United States who are in prison because of their obedience to Jesus Christ. Certainly there are people who have been railroaded into prison for crimes they didn't commit, and we ought to be concerned about that. And certainly we have people who've gone to prison and there found a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's certainly wonderful, and we want to welcome those brothers and sisters and rejoice in how God has made them part of the same family that he's graciously saved us and brought us into. But that's not what's being spoken of here. This is something more challenging, and that is people who were imprisoned and being mistreated because they were followers of Jesus Christ. And if you saw somebody being treated like that, the temptation would be to say, I have no idea who that person is. Okay? Please don't associate me with that. Do you remember Peter when Jesus was on trial? And they said, you were with him. And he said, I don't know the man. I have no idea what you're talking about. I was not. And he cursed, insisting that he was not to be associated with Jesus. This is telling us we must do just the opposite. And that is to say, that's my brother. That's my sister. That person who's suffering for their faith. That's our family. And so those who are being mistreated, we are to take that as if we were being mistreated. We're to care deeply. Those who are in prison, we should be like their fellow prisoners. Not only going to visit them, but not forgetting and interceding on their behalf. And certainly, with so many of our brothers and sisters suffering around the world, we need to take this to heart. Verse 4, marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. We live in a culture that says, well, you know, that's not so important. Yes, it is. God's rules haven't changed. Sexual immorality is immorality. We don't get a pass for certain kinds of sin. God hasn't changed the rules, and yet we're living in a culture where many churches are now telling people that it's okay to go ahead and be sexually immoral. It's not immoral anymore. That was just a primitive view. Now we understand you need to follow your own heart. If your parents thought because of your anatomy that you were a boy, but you've discovered, no, you're really a girl, you can live like one. Okay? That's not love. It's not love to reinforce somebody's immoral behavior. That's not love. That's not grace. That's enabling. It's sin. It's wrong. Don't go there. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. But look at the next verse. See, some of us are pretty good on verse 4. Yep, sexually immoral. I'm bad. Country's going to hell. I mean, it's bad news. People are really messed up. Just really makes me sick that people are so messed up. What's this verse 5? Keep your lives free from the love of money. Oh, well, it gets more specific. And be content with what you have. Wow. He doesn't just say we're not supposed to be passionately pursuing money. He says we're supposed to be content with what we have. Is that a good description of you? Content with what you have? That's one of those things where we need to have our minds renewed, where we need to have the way that we think conformed to the likeness of Christ, who gave up the riches of glory in order to rescue us, who gave in a way that the rest of us can't even grasp. Jesus didn't say, "I share the throne with my Father, and that is a great thing, and nobody else is going to participate." Jesus came and was born of a virgin, born in a manger, lived in poverty, was abused and killed, not just to pay for our sins so that we don't go to hell, but so that we could share the throne with him. His desire was that we would rule and reign with him for all eternity. He wanted to share and give what was his. That, beloved, is a great way to develop contentment. Instead of focusing on getting, turn your focus to giving. And it's amazing how contentment will come along and encourage you. So, be content with what you have because, listen, God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" The basis of our contentment is that our security and our comfort, our consolation, is in God himself. The reason for our contentment is not because I've got this thing and I've got this thing and I've got this thing, and if they break, I've still got this thing. The reason for our contentment is that we have God, who is the source of every good and perfect gift. And so our security and our joy and our comfort is in him. Then he says in verse 7, "Remember your leaders." Look at verse 17. "Obey your leaders." In fact, it's in there twice. Verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." Clearly, this man was not a Baptist. I mean, the idea of a hierarchical system within the body of Christ where human leaders are to be obeyed, that just doesn't fit at all with Baptist policy. Well, Baptist polity needs to be amended to become more biblical, doesn't it? Because the fact of the matter is, God says that within the body of Christ, he institutes a type of leadership that includes, on occasion, obedience. Now, it's not a dictatorial thing, and if you notice how the leaders exercise their leadership, it was to be, as with husbands in the home, a Christ-like leadership where you lay your life down for the good of those you're leading. But please understand that the fact that not all leaders are Christ-like does not cancel what God says in his word about the way that we're supposed to respond to those who are in leadership over us. And that is, we're supposed to submit to their leadership. We're supposed to obey them. And we're supposed to, back in verse 7, remember them and consider their way of life and imitate their faith. It doesn't say imitate their errors. It says imitate their faith. We do this because of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Christian life would make absolutely no sense if it weren't for Jesus. If it were not for the fact that he did what he did for us. But because of what he has done for us, there isn't anything he can ask of us or command from us that is unreasonable. Jesus goes so far as to say, anyone who tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so again, I would implore you to understand as you read this, and some of it you think, oh yeah, of course, I can do that. And some of it you think, whoa, wait, really? Seriously? Realize the basis for all of it is what Jesus Christ has done for us and who he is and the fact that he does not change. And then it says, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Verses 9 through 16 are the argument, if you will, in the middle of it that's all about Jesus. Listen, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods. Remember, they were being drawn back toward Judaism. Not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. He's saying, as a Christian, we have food that is so much richer, better, more glorious. Not talking physically, talking spiritually. Because we come and we feed on Christ. And as we are joined with him and fed by him, remembering what he did for us and what he has made us in Christ, that absolutely transcends all that went before with the temple sacrifices. Verse 11, the high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. He's saying, again, the Old Testament sacrifices were pointing to Jesus. Now, let us join with Jesus. We need to be prepared to bear the reproach, the shame, the opposition, the persecution, being identified with Jesus Christ. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Do you remember in the previous chapters where he talked about what it is to look forward to that city that is being prepared for us? You remember Jesus' words in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come back and take you to be with me so that you can be with me forever? Folks, we are not trying to build the greatest nation on earth. We are seeking to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that's going to mean a lot of people are not going to understand. A lot of people are not going to enthusiastically support this because in this city, that which God is building, holiness is required. Through Jesus, therefore, verse 15, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. What kind of sacrifice is God looking for? It's not killing animals, okay? He's looking for a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. You want to offer a sacrifice to God? Do something for somebody who can't pay you back. That is pleasing to God. It won't save you. This is instruction for those who are saved. This is not how to become a Christian. This is how to live the Christian life. How to behave because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Then, he says, obey your leaders. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Please get that. As men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And pray for us, particularly that I'll be restored to you soon. Verse 20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God has promised that he will supply everything that we need. And he will never leave us or forsake us. That's the basis of our contentment. That is the basis of our obedience. We are walking in relationship with him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearsvalleyranch.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim Wood of Abiding in Christ. Living in the mountains of East Tennessee, I'm surrounded by phenomenal beauty in every season of the year. My wife and I live on a mountainside that adjoins the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, the most popular, most visited of all the national parks in the USA. Our neighbors include bears and bobcats, foxes and raccoons, even possums and skunks. Just down the hill from our house is the beautiful campus of Wears Valley Ranch, a miraculous place where God is busy changing lives from the inside out. On this program, you'll hear interviews, monologues, but mostly you'll hear the expository preaching that I do here at the ranch. Because I'm often speaking to a room full of children, you may occasionally hear background noises or illustrations and vocabulary chosen for a child's frame of reference. But the one thing I pray you will hear every time is God's Word, the eternal, inerrant Word which points us to Jesus. I'm delighted to partner with this station in bringing these messages to you, and I'd like to get to know you better as you get to know us. Please visit us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us and let us hear from you. We'd love to know the station where you listen. And feel free to share any prayer requests as well. We actually do pray for the specific requests that folks send us, and we love hearing how God answers those prayers. Again, the website is pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.